You notice the title of the message tonight, The Beginning of Sorrows, Part 7. Why do I keep using this phrase, the beginning of sorrows? Jesus is the one that gave us this phrase in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 8. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. And what he's referring to is what he said in verses 5 through 7, which is a very brief summary of the events in the first half of the tribulation period. The beginning of sorrows is the word sorrows, and the idea of the beginning of sorrows relates to the early labor pains of a woman ready to give birth to a child. God uses this concept to the concept of labor pains to relate to all of the trouble that people will be experiencing throughout the tribulation, all of the tribulation they'll be experiencing. The beginning of sorrows is the early part, the less intense trouble and tribulation that they'll be experiencing. The worse and more intense sorrows will come later in the second half and towards the end of the tribulation period. We've been studying many things in the first half. We still have some more things to study in the first half. There will be a couple more parts yet to the beginning of sorrows. But at this point, I thought what I want to do is very quickly run through a chronological summary of all of the various parts that we have talked about thus far in the beginning of sorrows. We've kind of picked out this piece and that piece. Remember, God doesn't lay it all out in the book of Tribulation. In the book of Revelation, we have to get this piece here and that piece there. So let me just run through this briefly and lay out what I believe to be the chronology of the things that we have studied thus far. Of course, the rapture happens. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Is a description of that, and as a result of the rapture, there will be chaos in the world. We've estimated close to 300 million people as born-again believers. That's a tremendous number of people. It could be a little less than that. It could be a lot more than that. We don't know. Only God knows how many there will be, but hundreds of millions of people disappearing in a third of a second is certainly going to create chaos on the earth. And so the world will think that it needs to reorganize. And we hear that term, New World Order, thrown around. Even today, people are hungry for a New World Order. There will be a New World Order immediately after the rapture, in which the world will be divided up into 10 separate regions, each region ruled by a king. That's the term the scripture uses to describe that. And we get that from Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 to 24, where the kingdom of the end times will devour the whole earth, and out of this kingdom will come 10 horns, or 10 regional kingdoms. The people of the world will begin to rebuild the city of Babylon. Now, this could happen before the rapture even. Saddam Hussein started to rebuild it with the controversy regarding the United Nations and the things that are happening in Iraq and Iran and all of that area. It's certainly a possibility. We talked about that from Revelation chapter 18. How they have all of the wealth and immorality that will take place there. It will become a world center of commerce and culture and sin. And it will ultimately be destroyed at the end of the tribulation period, but certainly will be built up long before that. God will seal immediately after the rapture, I believe. God will seal 144,000 Israelites, 12,000 from each tribe. He will seal them with his seal to guarantee that they will live throughout the tribulation period. Two purposes: one, so that he will have a guaranteed witness throughout the tribulation period, but also guarantees that there will be Israelites still living at the end of the tribulation period who can enter into the millennial kingdom as believing Israelites. A coalition of primarily Islamic nations will invade Israel. There will be pockets of economic problems in the world. Israel will not be one of those. They will be living in unwalled villages. They will be prospering, and they will have what these other nations need. And they will invade Israel, but in the process of invading Israel, God will cause a great earthquake to take place, and every wall in Israel will fall down, and it will create a considerable problem in the nation of Israel. And so along will come the Antichrist. Israel probably at this point will not realize he is the Antichrist, although some at 144,000 at least will be believing Israelites at this point. There may be others who are believing, may realize what's going on, but at least the leadership will not realize what's going on. And the Antichrist will make a covenant with the nation of Israel for a period of 7 years, ostensibly to protect them while they rebuild and clean up. Israel will immediately, after this, begin a period of cleanup in the nation. It will, according to, I'm getting ahead of myself there. They will do that, but at the same time, they're going to reinstitute the sacrifices on the Temple Mount. If every wall in Israel falls down, that has to include the mosque that's on the Temple Mount, and that will clear the Temple Mount. 84% of the invading army will be destroyed, and that will break the back of Islam, which means there will be no problem with Israel taking over the Temple Mount. They will rebuild the temple, but before they get the temple built, they will immediately start offering sacrifices. They have already made the altar that what you saw was an altar that they've already made, and they're practicing the sacrifices even now. Israel, at the same time, will conduct a massive cleanup. It will take them 7 years to burn all of the leftover weaponry. It will take them 7 months to bury all the obvious bodies, and they will say that after the 7 months are over, they will hire people to go throughout the land and clean it up from the army that lost. Now, I've inserted this. We have not yet talked about the two witnesses. The record of the two witnesses is in Revelation chapter 11. I do believe that they come at the beginning of the tribulation period. We haven't talked about them yet. We will talk about them when we get to Revelation chapter 11. I believe they come at the beginning of the tribulation period, and they will be killed at the midpoint. We know that they will be operative 42 months, and when we get to chapter 11, I'll explain all of that to you. But the two witnesses will be active, and when we get to that point, I'll also speculate as to who they might be or might not be. False Christs will pop up all over the world, according to Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 to 5, and Matthew 24, verses 23 to 26. A lot of people will pretend to be the Messiah, returned, and seek a following. What they'll do is seize the opportunity to get rich and get a following and gain power. According to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6, corresponding to the first seal that Christ will open, bringing wars and rumors of wars upon the earth, as the rider of the white horse being an angel who will encourage these wars and rumors of wars on the earth. as the second seal is open, as Christ describes it in Matthew 24:7, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And this rider of the second horse, which is a red horse, will take peace from the earth, and people in the earth will be killing one another. That's on top of the wars and rumors of wars. According to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7, there will be famines. And this goes along with seal number 3 in Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. As it describes, it will take an entire day's wage just to buy enough of food for one meal. Matthew 24:7 says there will be pestilences. And seal number 4 in Revelation 6:8 describes how there will be the sword and hunger and death and beasts and all kinds of sources of death in the world. Seal number 5 describes new believers in the tribulation period being martyred. My explanation for this was and is that this is part of the tribulation upon the earth, in that God keeps a small remnant on earth of believers. There's a multitude of people that get saved in the early part of the tribulation period, probably throughout, but particularly in the early part of the tribulation period, and they are martyred for their faith. But remember, he removes the church so that there would not be a force of restraint against evil in the world, and he will keep the number of believers in the world at a minimum to continue this proliferation of sin and rebellion against God, so that the wrath of God will be effective upon all of those that have rejected him. Seal number 6 describes how there will be earthquakes in diverse places, and panic will set in all over the world. People will hide themselves in the rocks and in the dens of the mountains because they recognize finally that what's happening in the world has been coming from the hand of God, and they become afraid of him and seek to hide from him. Of course, the worst is yet to come. And while they think they might be hiding from God at this point, as we will see tonight with the opening of the trumpets, much worse things are going to be poured upon the earth. While God is pouring out his wrath upon the world in the tribulation period, Satan will be working through the Antichrist to secure a power base on the earth. We are told in the book of Daniel that he will take over 3 of these 10 regional kingdoms and secure a power base there. He will do this by peace and with flatteries, but as the first half of the tribulation period progresses, he will use force as it is necessary, and this is described in Daniel chapter 11. Verses 25 through 27. This is what we've covered up to this point. Would you now go to Revelation chapter 8? I thought about inserting each one of these things on a timeline chart on the screen, but I realized that to put all of that on the same screen, it would be so small you wouldn't be able to see it anyway. So all right, we come to Revelation chapter 8, and the first thing that we notice is that there is silence in heaven. Notice in chapter 8, verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, and what we'll discover is that the seventh seal contains the seven trumpets. So as the opens the seventh seal, there is not a specific event that happens as a result of the opening of the seventh seal. But everything that follows as far as the trumpets are concerned comes out of the seventh seal. So the seventh seal contains a lot. But as he opens the seventh seal, notice what happens. There was silence in heaven about the space of an half hour. Now, the question is often asked, do those in heaven know what is happening on the earth? I think what we're seeing here is perhaps an indication that they might know. As we go down through this first part of chapter 8, those in heaven, at least John is observing from heaven what is taking place on earth, and the angels are very much aware of what's going on earth. And we're going to see in this chapter a little bit of a ceremony in heaven prior to the sounding of the trumpets. Now, regarding this matter of a 30 minutes in heaven, you realize in heaven there is no time. There are no clocks in heaven. That is in the context of eternity. So the time factor in heaven is only relative to John. It's, notice he says, about the space of half an hour. It seemed to him in his earthly sense that this was about half an hour. Time is not measured in heaven, but John was giving a sense of about how long for him this silence lasted. The other thing is that this pause of silence in heaven is pretty remarkable. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. That's said for our sake. You know there's no day and night in heaven. But they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. These creatures that God has created, especially to surround the throne, sing praises to him all the time. Remember when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up on the throne, there were angels singing praises to God. And this goes on continually. For them to pause and there be to be silence in heaven is a remarkable event. It demonstrates how significant this is, how dramatic the events that are about to take place are. God is about to intensify his wrath upon the earth. When he poured his wrath upon the invading army of the nation of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 18 and 19, it says, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Now, if it was like that before the tribulation period even begins, and that was just for the invading army of the nation of Israel, what does this indicate is about to come from God? Well, we're about to find out. Verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Seven angels, seven trumpets, each angel given a trumpet. And we're about now to observe a ceremony that will take place in heaven before these trumpets will be sounded on the earth. Verse 3, And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. Now imagine the drama that's taking place in heaven. The focus is on the throne of God, the altar that is there, and what this angel is doing. And he is handed a golden censer. Verse 3 continues, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it. And he's going to offer this incense upon the golden altar which was before the throne. It is possible, perhaps probable, that this is taking place during that moment of silence in heaven, so that everyone's attention will be to what is taking place. This angel's given this golden censer, he's given incense, and he approaches the altar that is in heaven to offer this incense, and then it says that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. Now, is this the prayers of the saints that are on the earth? Is this the prayers of the saints that are in heaven? We are not told. But as people are praying, the prayers are mingled with the odor of the incense as it rises from the altar. And verse 4 says, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. God is there on the throne. He is high and lifted up. Remember, Isaiah says he's high and lifted up. So the altar is positioned lower than the throne. This angel with the golden censer, with the incense, approaches the altar. And as the prayers of the saints, I believe these would be the human beings who are believers, whether on earth or in heaven, maybe both. As these prayers ascend, this incense ascends from the altar in heaven, and they go up to God sitting upon the throne. Verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. This is why I say this. There's an indication here that people know what's going on earth. The fire from the altar in heaven is cast into the earth. And the result of this is that there are voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. This is very dramatic. And all of this takes place in heaven prior to the angels being sent forth to sound their trumpets. So we come to verse 6. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. So at the beginning of this, they're given their trumpets, and now, after this ceremony in heaven, they're preparing to sound. So this is a ceremony that is intended to prepare everyone for what is about to happen with these seven trumpet judgments on the earth. It's great drama in heaven. This will not be the last moment of drama in heaven. Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. Look there just briefly, will you please? Revelation chapter 11. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Another dramatic moment in heaven just before the midpoint of the tribulation period. And then Revelation chapter 15, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but here's another dramatic moment. And it says in verse 1, I saw another sign in heaven. Drop down to verse 5. After that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Now you notice in chapter 11, he says in verse 19 that the ark of his testament is there. Is that the ark of the covenant that was in the temple on earth? Or is it the real ark of the testament from heaven that the one on earth was made after the pattern of? But here in Revelation chapter 15, verse 5, whichever, it is opened. Ooh. And then in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 6, seven angels come out of the temple having seven plagues. And this is the preparation for the vile judgments and another dramatic moment that takes place in heaven. Verse 15, verse 8, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And so we're going to see these dramatic moments come, but there are several dramatic moments in heaven, and this one that we are looking at in Revelation chapter 8 is in preparation for the beginning of the trumpet judgments, and now the angels are ready to sound. And so there you go. Should have showed you that picture. That's an interesting picture. Preparation for the vials, the bowls, bowl judgments coming later on. Trumpet number one sounds. Verse 7. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now, a hailstorm is one thing, but a hailstorm with fireballs mingled with blood is something entirely different. And what is the result of this? A third part of the trees was burnt up. Now, I found a statistic that the world has 9.5 billion acres of tree land. That's a lot of trees. 9.5 billion acres of tree land. Trees cover 29.5% of the earth's surface. You know, people talk about how we're chopping down all of the trees and it's such a terrible thing. There is documentation that shows there are actually more trees in the 48 contiguous United States than there was when the first settlers came to the shores across the Atlantic Ocean. You know why? Because back then, there weren't firemen to put out forest fires. And there weren't people all over doing conservation and things of that nature and replanting trees. And If a wildfire got into a forest, it would just burn until the whole forest was down. There's no way to stop it. There are more trees now than there were 200 years ago in the North American continent. There are a lot of trees. So if the world is covered with 9.5 billion acres of tree land and one-third of all those trees is burned up, that means 3.17 billion acres of trees will burn. Well, that's a big forest fire. They think they have big forest fires now. What's that going to be like? Not only that, but one-third of all the green grass on earth will be burned up, it says. Not one-third. All the green grass will be burned up. Sorry. All the green grass will be burned up. It's impossible to measure how much green grass there is in the world. But it's going to be a lot. The second trumpet sounds in verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Now, this is one artist's depiction. This apparently is not the same thing as a star, because when the third trumpet sounds, a star will fall upon the earth. But this says it's a... as it were a great mountain. It doesn't say it is a great mountain, so it's not necessarily a volcano, but as it were a great mountain, burning with fire. I don't know what the difference between this and a star is, but we are told that this is what's going to happen. And the result of this is that the end of verse 8, the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, this huge mass of fire is cast into the sea. This is all of the salt water, volume of salt water on the earth. We're talking about 139,440,000 square miles of water surface on the earth. Of this, oceans cover 129,427,000 square miles. If this is just about the oceans, then when one-third of the sea becomes blood, that means 43,142,000 square miles of ocean will become blood. That's a lot of ocean. This is an area 25% larger than the entire Atlantic Ocean. One-third of all creatures in the ocean will die. Someone has estimated, the World Atlas gives the figure, at 1.67 trillion creatures in the sea. You're talking a lot of creatures dying. One-third of those. And one-third of the ships on the ocean will be destroyed. This would amount to approximately 13,000 ships, as there's an estimate of 39,000 ships on the ocean right now. That's a lot of destruction. Revelation chapter 8, verse 10, the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Again, I don't know what the difference is between a star burning as a lamp, what the difference between that and a great mountain burning with fire. There is apparently some distinction. But there is a star falls to the earth, and this time it falls upon all of the fresh water, because it falls upon the rivers and the fountains of waters. Trumpet number two affects the salt water and all the creatures in that. Trumpet number three affects all the fresh water, all of the drinkable water. It falls on one-third of the rivers and fountains of waters. And in verse 11, it says, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters become wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. In other words, the drinking water, one-third of the drinking water in the earth is destroyed. And what happens if you don't have water to drink? The bitterness does not necessarily poison the water. I researched the word bitter, and it's really not talking about poison. So it's not that people are being poisoned, but it's destroying the fresh water so people don't have drinkable water. If you have famine going on and people have a hard time getting something to eat because it takes an entire day's wage to buy just one meal, and that is compounded by the fact that you don't have any water to drink. And I would surmise by this time, the factories that are producing bottled water are probably not very much in business. And even if they are, how are they going to ship it because of all of the things that are taking place in the world? Things are going to be very much different. I didn't read the entire article, but I saw a headline the other day. There was a third world country, I believe it was in Africa, and the underwater cable that came, the main cable that comes into the country that provides internet service and cell phone service for that country was accidentally severed. And it said it put the entire country back into the Stone Age because they had no means of communication. What would happen to our world in the present day if we lost our means of internet and cell phones? The chaos that's going to take place in the world is going to be tremendous. So you have one-third of all of the salt water turned to blood in the world, and one-third of all the fresh water destroyed so the people don't have something to drink. And then the fourth angel sounds in verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. Now, if that's all you would read, you would think that you're only going to see two-thirds of the sun, and you're only going to see two-thirds of the moon. And you're only going to see two-thirds of the stars. But the rest of the verse explains actually what is happening here, where it says, so the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So here's what's going to happen. God is going to affect the sun, moon, and stars so that during the daytime, you will not have the full length of daylight that you normally have. Only two-thirds of the daylight that you would normally have is what you're going to have. Now, that's going to be a little depressing. You know, the further north you go, the less daylight you have in the wintertime. And, in fact, you go up far enough, you can get to a point where there's a rather lengthy period of time where you don't have any daylight at all. And it can be very depressing. It can cause all kinds of emotional problems. Now imagine if the sun would only come up about 10 o'clock in the morning and it would go down about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you'd only have about 6 hours of daylight, and that'd be in the summertime. And then on top of that, it says, and the night likewise, so at the nighttime, you're going to have total darkness for one-third of the night. What is that going to be like? Remember one of the judgments in Egypt when the Israelites were there, one of the plagues in Egypt was total darkness, and it was so bitter that it was painful for the people. Well, this is what's going to happen. God is going to affect the sun, the moon, and the stars so that during the day you only have 2/3 of the normal amount of daylight, and at night, 1/3 of the night will be in total darkness. The last three trumpets consist of three woes. And God gives us a little bit more information about each one of those, and we will take our time going through them. And because he gives us more information, he wants us to understand something more about them. We will consider them. I don't know if we'll take one each week or how long it will take, but we'll see how that goes. The last thing a person on this earth ever wants to do is to get on God's bad side. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure, your sin will find you out. People's sin will get them onto God's bad side in the tribulation period. Have you noticed how wicked the world is becoming? When in New York State, they can pass a law to kill babies up to the very time of birth. And in fact, the law includes the provision that if a baby survives an abortion, they can kill it. Even though it's alive and outside the womb, because it was intended to be aborted. And the state legislature had a standing ovation, applauded and cheered. I heard the audio when they passed this bill. And the governor of the state ordered the sky-high buildings in New York City to be lit up in pink to celebrate this bill allowing for the killing of children all the way to the day, the due date of the mother. It is wickedness. And be sure their sin will find them out. This is why people must know the truth. And why, while God is still long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance, we should be telling people before it's too late. God is long-suffering. He has a very long fuse, but eventually it will reach the point of explosion. And his wrath will be poured upon this world for their wickedness. Let's pray that before that comes, many more will come to know Christ as Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this information. We know that you have given it to us to motivate us to be a better witness for you. Use it to that end, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.